Good morning, Poplar Springs. It's sad not to hear you say good morning. We're coming to you live, although there's no one here in the sanctuary. Most of you know we are virtual this morning, and we're also virtual for the next two Sundays and as a way of precaution to protect our members and protect each other. We know that you've been traveling, which is wonderful. I hope you've had time to spend with family and friends over the holidays, and we just want to make sure we keep each other safe around this holiday season. So this morning we are coming to you virtually. We want to remind you that next Sunday, January 3rd, and the following Sunday, January 10th, will be just like this Sunday. We'll be coming to you live virtually, but we will not be meeting in person, and that includes Sunday school as well. So for this Sunday and the next two, we will not be able to meet together, but hopefully on the 17th, we will be back together with our precautions and our restrictions, able to meet together in the new year. I want to remind you that this Tuesday, December 29th, is the last day to turn in any money you want counted for 2020 with the church. Vicki needs a little extra time to make sure she gets everything accounted for, so any tithes, PayPal, any building fund money that you have to turn in, please make sure you get that in by this Tuesday if you want it counted for this 2020 calendar year. I want to remind you that the office will be closed this Thursday, December 31st, for our New Year's holiday. If you need any of us this week and you can't reach us at the office, of course you can reach us on our cell phones. We'll be happy to help you if you can't find us here. And I want to say a big welcome back to Andy. You're going to see him in a few minutes. Andy is back with us, ready to preach and bring the word. We're excited to have him. He's excited to be here. You probably can't see him right now, but he's excited to be here. I know he's been itching to be back with everybody and amongst everybody, so we're happy to have him back with us. As we begin worship this morning, I want to turn our hearts to prayer. You, of course, have in your newsletter each week a list of prayer concerns. I hope that you take notice of those. There are names that have been on there for a while, but they still need our prayers and they still need our thoughts. So I hope that you will find time this week to take a look at the prayer concerns and the prayer list in our newsletter. But I have two names for you that I'd like you to be praying for today and throughout this week. Blake Wilkie, he will be leaving sometime this week to head for basic training for the Air National Guard. And he will be gone for 6 months. So we want to be praying for Blake as he goes through his training. We pray for him physically, mentally, emotionally, as he is taking on this new challenge and new adventure. We're excited for him, and we want to be praying for him as he goes through this journey. We also want to be praying for Peyton, his wife Peyton, who will be here with us in Shelby still. So be praying for Blake and Peyton as they begin this new chapter and adventure in their life together. I also ask that you be praying for the family of Phyllis Wilson. Most of you know Phyllis passed away early yesterday morning. The funeral for Phyllis will be at Spencer Baptist Church in Spindale tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. So be praying for Ray and his family as they grieve this loss. And we spoke with Ray yesterday, and he reminded us that Phyllis is with her Lord. And so we are comforted by that as well as we think about Phyllis. As we begin worship this morning, would you join me in prayer? God, this week we have gathered with family. We've gathered with friends. We have shared meals together. We've opened presents. We've felt the excitement and the anticipation that comes with Christmas morning. We've felt the joy of being surrounded by loved ones. But God, this year especially, we're acutely aware that maybe the Christmas that we've had is not the same Christmas that others have had. For some, this has been a difficult Christmas. Some have been kept apart because of the virus and the pandemic from being with their family and being with friends. Some are facing financial burdens this Christmas. For some, this has possibly been the hardest Christmas they've ever experienced. God, in the coming week, as we look towards a new year. We will be packing up all of these Christmas decorations. The trees will go back in a box, as well as our ornaments. And we'll pack up our manger scene, and we'll pack up our stockings, and all the things that have adorned our house and adorned our lives for the past month. But God, I pray that as we move into a new year, as we close the chapter on yet another Christmas, God, I pray that we don't pack up the wonder that we feel at this time of year. The hope, peace, joy, and love that we have talked about over the past 4 weeks. The things, the feelings that we feel during this time of year, God, because of the joy of knowing that we are celebrating because of the birth of your Son. God, perhaps now more than ever, we need to keep those feelings alive. We don't need to pack them up in a box to not be opened until next Christmas. God, as we move into 2021, God, may the wonder, the joy, the excitement, the peace, the love, and the hope that we experience at this time of year, God, may we take that with us into this new year. Help us not to pack it away. Help us not to forget about it until we celebrate again next year. Whether we're at home with our families, whether we're at school, at work, at the grocery store, God, may we be beacons of hope and peace and joy and love and light for this world. God, each and every day of 2021, may we be reminded of your immense love for us and the sacrifice that you made through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this season. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Poplar Springs. And if you're watching today, I consider you Poplar Springs family as well. We're glad to have you here today with us today as we join together to worship. First, I want to say thank you for all your concerns, your cards, your words of encouragement and help during this time. It's been an interesting time. I've never had major surgery before, but I've had it now, so it's all an education, so I know what some of you have gone through before now, so I can kind of sympathize with you a little bit. Also, I have not, I've had the electrodes implanted in my brain, and I've had the generator put in my chest, but I haven't been programmed yet, so I don't know what you're going to get today. So just bear with us, and we'll see what we can do about this. But you have been a blessed, it's been a blessed experience watching us online. The preachers have done a tremendous job. They've led us in worship. Catherine and Nicole and Galia and Emmeline and all the crowd. I'm going to miss somebody. Laura Ann, Doug and Carla and Megan. I'm starting to name names, so there I'm scared, but you know who you are. But we appreciate all the work you've done. You've done a tremendous job, and it's been a great time watching you online. But I'm glad to be back. I'm delighted to be back. It's exciting to be back. I just wish you were here, but you're here with us in spirit, so we're glad of that. Thank you so much. One thing I can say is the wheels did not come off the bus. The church stayed together, and everything's okay. They did a great job of holding things together while I was gone. In fact, it did. What scares me is it did too well, and so that's great. Let me read our scripture for today. It comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Luke chapter 4, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. This is Jesus going to the Passover at 12 years of age. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast, according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and their friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray together. Father, if we're honest with ourselves and everybody involved, we realize we don't know a lot about Jesus after he was taken to the temple at 8 days old. We don't know a lot about that span of time there. But Father, we know that he was about your business, learning about what his purpose was and what it was that he was going to be doing. Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize that we don't need to fill in those gaps. We just know that you were about your word. And we need to learn from what we can about Jesus. I pray, Father, you'll help us to live the life of the Christ in our lives, that people will see Jesus in us and all that we do and say, and that we'll just continue to work and do the things you'd have us to do. Thank you for this fresh new year that's coming up, and thank you for the Christmas season we've enjoyed. Help us, Father, to live a life that pleases you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. This illustration is kind of for my nephew Grayson. It's one that he kind of calls to mind every time I see him or we talk about it. It's about a movie. The movie's called A Mighty Wind, which is a parody of the folk music scene. These folks are getting together and trying to provide a folk music reunion, and they're doing a lot of hard work there. And in this movie, the music event is being planned, and persons involved are meeting with potential MCs for the event. People are meeting with a person who would collaborate the event, put it together and introduce people and things like that. The person they secure for the job uses a catchphrase when he finds himself in a pinch, when he has to ad-lib. You know, there are those times when you're in front of an audience, you say, or something like that. You find something to fill in the silence. But he uses a catchphrase, and the catchy catchphrase is simple. When in a bind, he simply says, "What happened? What happened?" I guess you really need to see the movie. But it's kind of a funny movie, but it's a great movie. The mindset in this phrase could be used as one considers the birth of Christ event, when we think of the birth of Christ. There may be something that crossed the minds of the individuals in those days who witnessed the happening of that time, the birth of the Messiah. Shepherds met the angels out in the fields and told them a Savior had been born. They dropped what they were doing, and they went. They worshiped the newborn king. What happened after that? What happened? The wise men came from the east to see the newborn king, bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And probably after some time, these guys maybe caught up with each other and asked, "What about that kid in the cradle, in the manger? What happened? What happened?" When Jesus was 8 days old, his parents took him to Jerusalem to fulfill the ceremonial requirements pertaining to a child recently born. They had work to do. They had to fulfill the law because they were Jewish. There they encountered old Simeon, an aged prophetess Anna. William Barclay calls them the quiet of the land. The quiet of the land. I think it's an apt title because they were not loud. They were not obnoxious. They were not pushy or overzealous. They simply hung out at the temple. And they quietly worshiped God. And they silently prayed. And they waited for God to deliver them. The deliverance of God was coming, and they waited for that. There's a sermon there. I'll preach it sometime about these silent ones, these quiet ones of the land. But when they saw Jesus, the child, they said, "This is the one. This is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. This is him." So what happened? What happened? Today we wonder at times. Jesus was born, and we don't hear about him anymore until he was 12 years old. What happened in that time frame? Of course, we have the apocryphal books of the Bible which attempt to fill this 12-year gap, the gospel according to Thomas being a case in point, with its incredible stories of the childhood of Jesus. They're miracle stories and stories of that. But biblically, all we have is that at 12 years, his parents, Mary and Joseph, took Jesus to the temple. They took him to the temple. After his birth, Jesus, whose family was devout in their Jewish beliefs, took him to the historical sacred center of worship to present their offerings for this firstborn son, to have their son circumcised according to the law, and to give him an official name, Jesus, the one who saves. And that's it. For 12 years, there's nothing. We have nothing. Then we have Luke 2, verses 41 and 42. Every year his parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. There are a dozen years of nothing. A dozen years of nothing. What happened? Let's go with what we have. Jesus is going to the Passover feast in Jerusalem. It was a rite of passage for him. He was to be considered a man after this trip. This was his time of coming into manhood. At the Passover at the age of 12. The trip was a necessity for Jesus and Mary and Joseph. They were devout Jews. It's what you did. It's what you were required to do. And you tried to make it. They traveled in a large group. They traveled in a very large group. Just a horde of people. And it's probably where we get the psalm. In the psalm where it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Probably that's part of it. They traveled in large groups to the temple. And my guess is it was not only a religious requirement, but a time of fellowship as well. They fellowshiped and enjoyed time with each other, kind of like a giant family reunion. The mamas probably swapped childhood stories and enjoyed conversations with kindred spirits. The mothers talked together, enjoyed that time. And as in most cases, I'm sure they talked labor and delivery a little bit. That always happens sometimes concerning that. Mary had them all beat. She had them all beat. I rode for what seemed like a year on a donkey. Pregnant and ready to deliver. When we arrived in Bethlehem and the hotels were all full, urgent care was closed. I had my baby in a barn, maybe more like a cave. And when then all these people started showing up, it was crazy. It was different. The dads probably swapped stories and argued and discussed current events and theology. And the kids probably had a ball playing together on the way to the temple in Jerusalem. It was an event. It was something special for them. Not just going to worship, but to fellowship together. But on the way home, there was a problem. The women left first and the men left last because they had to cut the lights out in the temple and make sure the doors were locked and someone needed to cut off the air conditioning or something like that. They had gone a day's journey down the road when Mary and Joseph reconnected. Mary said, did you get Jesus? Did you get Jesus? Joseph probably got defensive and probably said, Mary, I thought you got him. I thought you had him. She probably mumbled something there and she said, yeah, you always think that. She probably did that. I don't have him. Here's where I think about the mama on the plane and home alone, where she says, Kevin. She screams it out on the plane, Kevin. Except Mary said, Jesus. He's at the temple alone, unsupervised, at the mercy of who knows what or who knows who. We left our son Ethan at church twice in his younger years. He was a quiet man, young man. So this is something that I can relate to. The first time, church steward Pete brought him to the house when he didn't show up for lunch. She said, here's Ethan. The second time, it was Sunday school director Joe who delivered our young one to the house. Jesus was not delivered, but instead the terrified parents traveled a day's back journey back to Jerusalem. Traveled all the way back to Jerusalem for a day. Can you imagine that conversation? Joseph, I can't believe you left Jesus. And Mary thinking to herself, what kind of mother am I? We've left him. Let's pick up in verse 45. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, probably a number of things, but this in particular. She didn't cough. Son, why have you treated us like this? Parents, we've all said this in one form or another. We've said this before. Your father and I have been looking for you all over the place. We were worried sick. Where have you been? Let me insert a possible addition here. Maybe they said, wait till you get home. That could have been said. Jesus replied, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But Mary and Joseph didn't know what he was talking about. That's what the scripture says. You and I have the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the gospel story, history and church tradition, and we know what he was talking about. He knew he was God's son. In those 12 years, he had figured it out. He had a great earthly father, though probably not for very long because we don't hear a lot about Joseph. But his real father was God, and he had a job to do. That was saving us, saving humanity. He had work to do. He had to be about his father's business. Finally, in verses 51 and 53, we have the solution to the mystery of the 12 years and the years that followed. The solution to the mystery. Verse 51. Then they went down to Nazareth with his parents, and he was obedient to them. Jesus obeyed his parents. I wish there were youth and children here today, because I could say, Jesus obeyed his parents. That's a good thing. He obeyed his parents. An example at such a young age for many of us. Obey your parents. They've experienced life. They've made mistakes. They've learned lessons. And a good parent, a noble parent, a concerned parent, a loving parent, a parent who cares about the well-being of the child will not lead that one astray. That will not happen. They will make mistakes in raising their kids. They're, by the way, human and therefore imperfect. We all make mistakes. But parents, for the most part, deserve respect and obedience. Respect and obedience. And Jesus did just that with his earthly parents. I'll acknowledge there are parents who don't care out there. There are some out there who don't care. Parents who neglect their children. Parents who abandon their little ones, physically and mentally. But in the genuine Christian home, practice obedience. Practice obedience. There will come a time when the child who has been nurtured and provided for will have to make a life for himself or herself. At that time, there will be departures from our points of view and decisions will be made that we can't quite comprehend. In later life, Mary didn't understand Jesus and his purpose. But in his younger years, Jesus obeyed his parents. Verse 51. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus made memories with his mama and his family. He made memories. There were memories made there. She treasured those things in her heart. She treasured things with Jesus. And I think the lesson there is something that maybe kind of, well, maybe stretching a little bit, but I think it's important. It's important that we take time to make family memories. It's things to treasure in our hearts. I thank God for my wife, the mother of my kids, who insisted that we make memories. I hate to say that she was right because, you know, that means she'll tell me some other things, but she's right. If it weren't for Kim, they would say to others about their childhood memories, they were these. I played in the yard. Dad played in the church with the church kids. That was his job. He would come home tired from playing all day and talking on the phone and visiting the hospital, yell at us, and then go to bed. That would be their memories. But Mother Kim insisted on making memories to treasure in our hearts. She would say, Andy Oliver, I know you're going to say you can't afford it or we can't afford it, but we're going to take a yearly summer vacation. We're going to do that. We're going to do that, and we did. She'd say, Andy Oliver, the kids are out for spring break, and you're going to say we have bills to pay. I know what you're going to say. I know you well, but we're going to take our kids to our nation's capital to see the monuments, and we're going to the Outer Banks. My kids are going to see Jockey's Ridge, and they're going to see where man first took flight. We're going to do that. Making memories. Just recently we had a heated discussion and she made a good point. If I had my way, Christmas would be like this. You get a miniature tree, a nice TV, get some music playing, and plenty of food. And I balked when Kim told me, I don't care if they amputate your head at the hospital, you're going to that shed to get the Christmas decorations. You're going to go down there and get those, and we're going to decorate this house whether you want to or not. She wanted to make memories, even in 2020. Even in 2020, when I thought I had the year off. We're going to make memories. It's important that we make memories in our families. Mary treasured memories of her son, but you have to make memories to treasure them. You have to make memories to treasure them. The memories they made sustained her in the heartbreak of later years with her son when she would see him beaten and crucified. And they were a bonus when he rose from the dead. Jesus is alive, and that's my boy. And finally, the obvious. And Jesus grew in wisdom. He took seriously the importance of learning. He took seriously the importance of learning life lessons, knowledge, common sense, listening to those with godly wisdom. He grew in stature. His body matured. His mind matured. He grew up just like us. But he was man and he was God. fully man and fully God, fully human and fully God. That's Jesus. And he grew in favor with God and man. He developed a relationship with the Heavenly Father. He did not forget where he came from. And he developed relationships with those around him. There we go. That's what we have. I can't add a whole lot to that. We don't know a lot about those 12 years, nor do we know a lot about the 18 years that followed. We do know that at 30 he began a ministry that would change the world. He changed the world in a brief span of time. And he will hopefully change you and me, this child. Jesus can do that for you. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He's the Savior of the world. He died for you and me to pay the price for our sinful nature and for forgiveness and strength and eternal life. That's a gift from him to you. A gift. The question we have to ask ourselves is this. Will we accept that gift? Jesus. Jesus, the gift of Christmas. May we remember that he's calling all of us to follow him. Will you follow him today? Is that something that you would like to do? Is he speaking to you? And if he is speaking to you, I pray that you'll make that decision today to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We realize there are gaps in the Gospels, but they're not supposed to be a biography. They're to be a letter, a gospel about the teachings of Jesus and what he wants us to know and what he wants us to learn. I pray that we'll learn obedience, that we'll learn making the most of every day, that we will learn that life is short, that we need to make the most of it, and that we'll develop a relationship with you and grow. I pray, Father, that you'll help us all to seek your guidance and direction in life and everything that we do. I pray, Father, that we will seek your guidance and direction. Use us in your service. Help us to be the Christians you'd have us to be out in the community and out in the world. I pray that folks will see Jesus in us. I pray, Father, you'll just bless our times together in worship. And soon we'll be worshiping together again. And I pray, God, that those times will be good and helpful and special. Father, as we encounter this new year that's coming up, 2021 is going to be better. It's going to be better. But if it's not, we'll be okay because we're in your hands. We know that you know the way, and we'll trust you. I pray, Father, you'll bless those who've joined us today. I pray that you'll speak to them, speak to me, speak to all of us as we seek to serve you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
Thank you, Emmalyn. Church family, we're glad that you have joined us today for worship. I want to remind you that your Deacon of the Week is Jeannie Price. So if you cannot reach anybody at the church office or anyone on staff and you need help this week, Jeannie will be happy to help you. Would you pray with me as we conclude our service today? God, thank you that you sent your Son to be the light of the world. God, there was so much that you accomplished in the sending of this little baby. So much that you would do that was wrapped up in that manger. God, as we go forth into this week, may we sing hallelujah for the wonderful things that you have done. May we rejoice in the birth of our Savior. May we shout it from the rooftops that He is born. Amen. Joy to the world, our Savior is born.